Teachers are natural innovators, entertainers, and problem solvers. They dream of growing old into the profession, teaching their kids' kids. But sometimes career goals shift, and that makes opportunities outside of the classroom seem intangible. Questioning, who am I if I'm not a teacher? I'm your host, Allie Simon.
And I'm your co-host, Jody Scissors.
And this is Teacher Shift.
Teacher mental health is one of our most streamed topics. From feeling stuck in a niche profession to confronting unhealthy habits, we'll unpack a medley of topics. Today's guest is a longtime listener that empathizes with all the tough feelings you confront in a shift and how it's never too late to go after your own happiness.
Today, our guest is Bregan Padley. Bregan is an attorney turned fitness professional and small business owner. When she's not leading classes at the gym, she operates a bakery, specializing in custom cakes and cookies for all occasions. Her two furry family members, Neo and Naya, are also joining us in the background. Welcome to the show today, Bregan.
Thanks so much, Allie. Glad to be here.
I'm glad that the two of you are now meeting because I talk about both of you to each other all the time. So Allie gets to hear about me, you know, going and working out and how much I need to like just get out of the house sometimes and clear my mind or how I start my day. And what most people don't know is, yeah, I start my day at the gym, but usually I start my day with you because you are such an important person in my life for a very long time. And you have led me on a healthier path for many years now. And then, of course, you're a longtime listener, so you have heard Allie and I's conversations many a times. And, you know, I've gotten texts from Bregan that are like, oh my gosh, that episode was so on point, or I really connected with this idea. And I think through the stories that Allie and I share and the guests that we have, we've really connected on a lot of ideas. And so I was like, we should invite Bregan on because she's not a former teacher. She definitely has an appreciation for teacher, but she knows what it's like to make a career shift. So that's why we're here today.
Yeah, you made a big career shift, Bregan, going from being an attorney to a fitness professional and small business owner with your bakery. So I'm excited to hear about that.
I've been a day one listener to the podcast and so it's exciting to be here.
Yeah, she's been through our brand shift, through the ups and downs. She got a sneak peek of the brand before we rolled it out. So yeah, let's just start. Let's kick off the episode here. So I know that you have told me many times that you've made some deep connections with some of the stories of teachers or people just in very niche professions, people that go to school to study a certain thing, and then they go into the field and they realize that it's just not the right fit, even though they've dedicated all these years to the studies and understanding of whatever field it is. So what throughout, you know, your shift and through listening through the podcast, what are some of the parallels or deep connections that you found with the shift of a teacher?
Yeah. So you kind of hit on some of them right there. And I think that in my case and in a lot of teachers' cases or anybody who goes to school, prepares a lot, perhaps spends a lot of money getting an advanced degree, like you tie so much of your identity to your career and you kind of envision that this is going to be your path forward. This is going to be your life's work. And sometimes it just doesn't turn out that that is the exact right fit, or it's not the exact right fit right now or in this role. And so making the decision to leave or shift to something else, there's a lot of guilt or sadness, some of those expressions that teachers have expressed too. And for me, you know, I spent, you know, six figures trying to go get a law degree. I got that law degree. And part of it is like a financial decision, walking away from something that you spent that much time, that much money on is kind of hard to reconcile whether that is the right decision. But at the end of the day, you have to, I think, prioritize your happiness, your mental health, and what's going to fulfill you. So if that means that you have to walk away, even temporarily, then I think that, you know, you should feel confident in making that decision.
Did you have anybody that you conferred with before you kind of made that decision, or did you make it alone?
So it's interesting. Like, you don't always feel comfortable talking to colleagues in that situation, because that can be a kind of awkward conversation. I did talk to my family a little bit, my mom and my dad, who have always been very supportive of anything that I want to do. So I'm grateful there. But for the most part, it was kind of, you know, a decision that I had to make for myself and then figure it out as I was going. And once I made the shift, I could be more open about that decision and have more discussions. But when you're kind of having those initial thoughts, you kind of have to keep it a little close to the vest just to protect your potential career. So you don't always want to give away that information beforehand.
Right. And I hear that a lot. We hear that a lot from teachers that, you know, talking to other teachers in the building isn't always the best space. And actually, I hear that a lot from my husband when he has colleagues in the military and they think they might not stay in for a full career, because once word gets out that you might not want to do it, then maybe you're not considered for the same opportunities and you might not have your mind made up yet. You might just be thinking about it or considering it. So it's hard when the people that you're probably closest to, like your colleagues, you can't share that with them. But I'm glad that you did have people that you could talk to, like your family members, and ultimately made that decision. But I definitely see a big parallel there with being in these very specific fields and feeling like, who do I talk to? Who do I go to? So it's nice that you had that safe space. I'm curious too, when you did make your transition, your shift, did you know the thing you wanted to go into next, or did you just know that that wasn't the right thing for you at the time? And so you were looking for something new.
Yeah. So I was actually doing both for a long time. I was working at a law firm and then I was teaching fitness on the side, like very early in the morning and then late at night after I worked a full 9 to 5. And I got into that right after law school. I started teaching classes and then just kept kind of taking on more and more. And it got to the point where I was like, I feel like I'm almost working 2 full-time jobs and one of them is much more fulfilling to me. Like, I have very different feelings being in one place at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning versus like being in another space from 9 to 5. And so I did know that that was the direction that I wanted to go, that I wanted to make fitness more of my full-time thing. However, that turned into an additional shift soon after I left because COVID hit and then all the gyms closed. So I had made the shift a little while before, but then was looking at potentially having nothing to do for who knew how long. So that's when my second shift came and I started my cottage bakery.
So law is a pretty niche field. Like, it's something that you go into, it's specific. I mean, you can do lots of things with a law degree. I have friends who have law degrees and they don't necessarily practice law. But I'm wondering, you know, for you, what were some of the hurdles that came with working in that niche field and maybe even thinking about transitioning within that field? Because it is kind of like teaching, I think, pretty specific.
Yeah. So within law, I mean, if you take law, the practice of law is a broad category. There's so many specific areas that you can focus on. And I didn't feel like I had a really great practice area, or I didn't have a ton of experience in like one specific practice area. And I found that that made it really hard for me to try and make a lateral move or to try and transition into an area of law that I thought that I would enjoy more. I felt like I was kind of pigeonholed into what I had already been doing. And I knew that what I had already been doing wasn't the right fit for me. So even with trying to make a transition into another area of law, I didn't have any experience in that. And so I was getting passed over by candidates who did have little or some experience in that area. So that made it tricky. And I think that, you know, teachers might experience similar difficulties if they're like, I want to stay in teaching. I've been teaching this subject or this grade, and I think that another age group or another subject area might be a better fit for me, but potentially they want somebody with more experience. So that can always be hard to kind of tailor your resume or get in front of the right people and just convince them to take a chance on you.
You know, I think a lot of teachers you know, that are in the teaching profession also kind of teach very niche subject areas. So a lot of times a teacher that has been solely as content specific, like math, is afraid. Well, you are a Spanish language teacher, right? So like, even though I was in immersion, I taught every single subject. So a lot of the teachers who are ready for a transition, their resume is like all math or all science. And maybe they want to transition to a reading specialist or maybe a staff development teacher, but they have this, they've been pigeonholed into this area where they've gained a lot of experience in a lot of different areas, but that specific content they feel limits them from meeting like their fullest potential. It's not that they can't do the job. It's, will somebody give them a chance to explore another job and have the willingness to say they can learn this new role? And so I know, you know, a lot of teachers this time of year reach out to Allie and I, and that's one of the biggest concerns is I'm in a niche field, I'm in a niche subject, and I don't know what to do now. Will anybody believe me that I can do these other things? So let's kind of pivot really quick just to something that I think is really important that a lot of teachers need to talk about, to hear, to discuss. And it's the fact that, and even our analytics tell us this information, is that beyond being in the niche field, you know, studying for this career, thinking it's going to be your life's work, we have a lot of teachers that are really burnt out and they're exercising, because their work is burning them out, they're not exercising the best habits for their physical and their mental health. And so do you feel that like exercise can help relieve that burnout and stress and overall mental health in not just a teaching profession, but any profession?
Absolutely. I mean, for me personally, exercise is what has always kind of been my go-to stress relief, but it's also what kept me sane in years like working through law school, working long hours at a law firm. And, you know, the science proves that exercise is one of the best things you can do for your mental health, but it's just about prioritizing yourself. I think people and teachers are such selfless people in general that I think that they will tend to put themselves last, but taking that 30 minutes or an hour for yourself every day or three times during the week, I think just having a consistent routine, something that is just for you, is going to put you in such a better headspace throughout your day, preparing for the next day, and just gives you all the right tools to have a successful day at work and be, you know, a successful partner or parent or whatever your particular situation is at home as well. Yeah. So for me, I don't think I would have made it through law school or through, you know, my first few years of my career working at a law firm if I didn't get up every day and go to the gym. And it meant getting up super early, getting up at 5 o'clock every morning, going to the gym, getting a workout in, showering at the gym, commuting into the office, working a long day at the office. But for me, that was so important. That was so non-negotiable for so many years in my life. And I really think that is the thing that helped me balance out any other stress that I came across in my day.
Yeah, I cannot agree more with that. And it's really interesting because I don't even think Joni knows this, but I started a plan about a month ago where I've been consistently working out probably like 4 or 5 days a week, like 30 minutes a day. That's it. That's all I really have time for in the morning, getting up at 5 or 5:15 and eating better. And I feel like a different person. Like it took me so long to finally acknowledge that I would not make it to the gym. So like, Jody, I love that you make it to the gym and you have your classes and I want that life too, but it's just not feasible. So I needed to find something. I found someone on social media who was like, basically felt like me, but I realized as a parent, me going to classes wasn't going to work. And so I think, you know, we have this idea of like what health will look like for us and what wellness will look like. And it's hard in today's society to maybe make that happen, but a version of that can happen. And I think more educators were selfless. And I never really was able to take the time when I was teaching to do that. I prioritize these other things. I think I could have if I had maybe been more realistic in my expectations, but just to share like with our listeners, it is worth it. And granted, it's only been 4 weeks. I think habit forming takes at least that amount of time. So check in with me again. But I do feel like I'm in such a better place, like physically, mentally. I think my family would agree. I'm a little bit more pleasant to be around these days.
Good for you, Allie. I'm glad you're doing that for yourself. I just wanted to add on that I recently had like a revelation with my sister about going to the gym. And I think that a big part of me going to an actual gym are the people and feeling like I'm part of a team. So I was a student athlete, you know, growing up, and Bragan was a collegiate athlete. And so to me, and of course, like, you know, this, Allie, like my dad is a college baseball coach. So there's something about having that coach in my life, like a teacher. You know, I like being motivated. I like being held accountable. I like the competition sometimes, like pushing myself. So it's not just like doing it for me. I like being part of the community. And so, you know, I work from home now, and a big part of me having like in-person community is going to the gym. But I know like Bragan, you do private lessons, right? Like private instruction with people. So I know that sometimes going to the gym isn't achievable for everyone. So you might have someone come to you. You might be doing something in your living room, whatever it takes. Or I've seen teachers have like exercise clubs, or, you know, they do Girls on the Run or something, and they do it collectively because that's when they can carve out the time to do it.
Another part of, well, at least my recent change, is trying to also build in healthier eating and make better choices with that. So I was interested in asking Bragan, like, you found a passion for fitness, wellness, but you also run a bakery. So what advice do you have for kind of the balance, the happy medium between taking care of yourself, but also enjoying a treat every once in a while?
Yeah, it is an unconventional pairing of careers, I will admit that. But funnily enough, the people that I meet at the gym tend to be some of my best customers at the bakery. So I truly believe in balance. And I think that we don't have to make the gym all about you have to be 100% healthy. It's not black or white, right? If you miss one workout, your entire, you know, fitness journey, you don't have to start from zero again. If you have a piece of cake, you don't have, you know, you don't need to beat yourself up about it. You can have both. And I think just like in any aspect of your life, finding the right balance is challenging, but I'm a big believer in, you know, embracing what you enjoy in life, but also like, you know, doing what's healthy, what's going to make you feel good. So
I agree with you. I mean, I think the people who I've had in my life have been the most successful with making healthy lifestyle changes. They're not like only eating vegetables and like lean protein, like protein all the time, because that's not sustainable. Like, we live lives, we are around different things, but I do think that it's good to figure out what are kind of your, maybe, I don't know if this is the best word, but like triggers, like when I am stressed out, I make poor eating choices. Deep down inside, I am a junk food junkie, and I do like to have that stuff sometimes. But like knowing that about myself and acknowledging it, I'm like, okay, I'm craving all these things and I'm wanting all these things. It's probably because I'm stressed out. Like, what else can I do? Or can I buy some stuff that's like not great, but also not that bad for me to kind of satiate that craving? And yeah, I think like an all or nothing mentality is not healthy for anybody, but we're all a work in progress, and we have good days and we have bad days. But for me, having like a routine has been really key. And I don't know if that's just, I think that's my personality. Like, I thrive with knowing what's going to happen. So that's been helpful for me. But I love how you've been able to build in this lifestyle that really helped you through a difficult career and then became your career and your passion.
I'm a living testimony of like fully immersing myself in Bragan's life. So I will go to the gym work my tail off and I will leave eating one of her cupcakes. And there's no guilt. It's just like, I feel happy. I feel a lot of pride that I have done this for myself because I deserve both things and I don't have to feel bad about it. I feel good that I can just have the best of both worlds. And Bragan, she's not just like on the gym side, but she, you know, she makes all the cakes for my daughter's birthday. She makes special treats for all the teachers in Cora's lives. We just recently did, you know, the Taylor Swift friendship bracelet. She made little cookies with all the teachers' names, which was really sweet. And she's going to make something special for Teacher Appreciation Week for us. So I'm always in her business. I'm always, texting her. I'm like, I got a new thing, or guess how many meters I rode or whatever. So I think we can just like wrap this up here with one really important question that Allie and I have been thinking about is, as a non-teacher, what have teachers and coaches meant to you and how do you show them appreciation?
Yeah. So I grew up playing sports my entire life. I actually was an athlete in college, just part of what led me to being a fitness instructor now. I rode in college. And so coaches have definitely, in particular, been a really big part of my life. When you play competitive sports for that long, you spend so much time with your coaches. And I think that your coaches almost become like a parental figure to you when you're on that team. Like, you want to impress them, you want to earn their respect and their admiration, and you really look to them for a lot of guidance. So in that way, like, I think honestly, the best way you can show appreciation is just by telling them, right? But it's interesting now that I'm in like a quasi teaching role where I'm like coaching at the gym, kind of seeing it from the other side. Like, the most rewarding thing for me to hear as a coach now is just like the impact that you've had. So I think that just showing appreciation or expressing gratitude by telling your coaches or your teachers kind of how they've helped you improve something in your life, or like the difference that you've seen in yourself as a result of their coaching or teaching, is going to be the most rewarding thing for them. At least that's my perspective as, you know, a fitness coach now, which is not the same as a classroom teacher, but I get to see a little bit of that.
Yeah. And I just want to note that Bragan is such a teacher. Instructionally, if you have ever gone to any other fitness classes, she has a special way that she delivers the instruction. Sometimes I'm listening, sometimes I'm not, what she gets on to me for. But she does have this really solid instructional approach, which I think is part of people feeling successful in a workout session, feeling confident, feeling that they are supported, that they can try something new and know that she can coach them through that. So like, even though she's got this law degree and she's in the gym coaching, she really has a solid way of instructing people. And I've seen teachers transition into fitness. And I think that their strength in transitioning is how they deliver the instruction.
Yeah. So I actually want to say, listening to your podcast has been helpful for me, even as a quasi teacher. I feel like just hearing you discuss like instructional design and how you deliver things, like, I've tried to internalize that and then, you know, try and bring that to my classes, and thinking that, you know, not everybody interprets information the same way. Not everybody is going to get something if you only give verbal cues, for instance, in class. So trying to give verbal cues, physical cues, repeating things, maybe going up and doing like hands-on, like, I'm going to show you here one-on-one, you know, really adapting your instruction to the students, not assuming that the students have to understand the information as you give it. So, you know, I want to thank you guys for, you know, constantly, you know, making me a better instructor, whether you know it or not.
Oh, thank you. I think what's really special about today's episode is that it's kind of like a potpourri or like eclectic episode where we're going through like different topics. So we talked about your career transition from attorney to fitness instructor and bakery owner. And then also like our own wellness journeys that Jody and I, like how that plays a part in our lives and really has helped us, I think, just as people making big transitions in our lives. And then hearing how the podcast has enriched your life, I hope it sounds like. And I think you are a teacher, by the way. Fitness trainers, they are definitely teachers. And I've worked with some great trainers who have changed my life for the better also. So I loved being able to connect with you today. I hope our listeners will learn many things from today's episode and be able to take steps in their own lives to work towards something that works in their lives for balance and wellness. But I want to let them know how they can connect with you on social media. So if you want to connect with Bragan, you can find her on Instagram at Brags and Baked by Brags. And we will link that in the show notes. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Allie and Jody. It's been great to be here.
Are you interested in suggesting a topic for Teacher Shift, being a guest, or recommending a guest? Please see the episodes page on our website to make a submission. And if you'd like to write for us, see our blog page. If you liked Teacher Shift, give us a 5-star rating and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Today's episode was written and recorded by me, Allie Simon, and my co-host, Jody Scissors, executive produced by Teacher Shift, produced and edited by Emily Porter. Original music, Emoji by Tubebacker.